Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus, the second book in your Bible, Genesis, Exodus. And we find our way to the book of Exodus and chapter number 19. The book of Exodus and chapter number 19. We are in a little mini-series that whenever we're not hitting one of our major series, like the Gospel Record of John, we're hitting a special mini-series dealing with understanding the love of God. And that's something that we could do a lifelong study to try to understand more and more of the love of God and still never discover everything. And we just want to put some highlights throughout the year as we go through here to understand more about how much we have a Savior who loves us and how He doesn't just say He loves us, but how God has proven He has loved us. We come to a very clear passage talking about God's watch care over us, and we find our way to the book of Exodus in chapter number 19. Now, in Exodus 19, to catch you up, God has just delivered His people Israel out of Egypt by using the different plagues, by bringing the Passover lamb, by bringing the people through the land, through the Red Sea, the entire time showing the mighty hand of God. Now they have come to Mount Sinai, where God in the next chapter is going to verbally give the people the Ten Commandments. But in Exodus 19, you have the preparatory time that God is going to give instructions to Moses about how to set the people up and how to prepare them to be able to hear the actual voice of God. And in Exodus chapter 19, in verse number 1, notice what it says. Exodus 19 in verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, will you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Exodus in chapter number 19? The book of Exodus, chapter 19, and notice with me in verse number 4, where it says, I bear you on eagle's wings. I bear you on eagle's wings. If you'd like to change that pronoun there for your title, God bears us on eagle's wings. And what an encouraging thought. And we're going to teach more about this thought, that God bears us on eagle's wings. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, I'm just asking that you would give us grace and that you would give us mercy, that you would help us to understand this passage and be able to see how great of a God you truly are, how much you love us, how much you care for us, and how much you prove your love towards us. Again, this is a message I'm excited for, but I do not want to preach it in my flesh. I don't want to preach it from my memory, from my mind. I want you to do this message that people can see you high, holy, and lifted up. So the best I know how, I surrender myself to you, my thoughts, my ambitions, my goals, my intellect, my knowledge, they're all yours. Whatever you see fit to do through this message, we trust you to get your own work accomplished through your precious word. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, once again, God has gathered the people to Mount Sinai, and he is going to prepare to give them the law in Exodus chapter number 20. Now he is giving them some preparation. He has brought the people out of Egypt. He has brought them unto himself, and he gives some very powerful statements as he's talking to Moses. He says, Moses, I want you to tell the people some things. I want them to understand something straight off. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 5, we'll start there. It says, now therefore, so because of what I just told you in verse 4, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. Now we know that God's direct interpretation is he's speaking to the Hebrew people. And by the way, this promise has never went away. That even today, even if though they're not as obedient as they ought to be, the Hebrew people are still God's people. And God has never stopped that. But we can also apply this to ourselves. And notice what God calls them. He calls them a peculiar treasure. The word peculiar is a very interesting word. A lot of times people will try to define peculiar as carrying the idea of strange, something unique, something different. But the word peculiar carries with it, it is actually a mathematical geometry term. If I was to draw a circle and I had a dot in the middle of that circle, that dot would be peculiar to that circle. That the word carries the idea of something that belongs wholly to. That dot belongs wholly in that circle. It doesn't belong to anything else. When God calls us a peculiar people, he's not saying you guys are going to be strange and different and kooky and mad and different. He says, when you are a peculiar people to me, you are wholly belonging to me and no one else. You are peculiar to me. But notice he doesn't say peculiar people. He says, you are a peculiar treasure. Do you know how God sees you? He sees you as a treasure that belongs wholly to him. Isn't that wonderful? Because we live in a world of self-esteem issues where people don't like themselves. They don't like some of the choices that God made for them. They don't like the family they grew up in. They don't like the circumstances. They don't like how they look. They don't like things that turn out. There's a lot of things that you didn't choose in your life that God chose for you. But you know that how God sees you? He sees you as a peculiar treasure, a treasure to him. Now, isn't that wonderful? Because there's a lot of people who do not feel treasured. They feel worthless. But God sees you as a treasure that belongs peculiar, holy to him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Now, remember, this verse started with the word therefore. He says, because of what I just told you in verse 4, therefore, you are a peculiar treasure to me. Well, whenever you see the word therefore, you need to see what it's there for. So go back to me to verse number 4. In verse number 4, it says, ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians. And God did do a lot of things to the Egyptians, sending the 10 plagues, how he opened up the Red Sea, allowed the children of Israel to cross, and then he closed the Red Sea upon Pharaoh's army. But notice he says, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. He says, I purposely bore you on eagle's wings. You say, what does that mean? We'll get to that in a second. But notice the purpose of what he did. The things that he did to you in your life, the things he did for you in your life was for this, to bring you to himself. That's what God has always desired. Because you are a peculiar treasure, he wants you to himself. He wants to bring you to himself. He wants you to bring you close. He wants you to recognize how much he loves you and how he sees you as a special, peculiar treasure, a treasure that belongs wholly to him. Now, how does God show us that we're a peculiar treasure? What has he done to bring us to himself? That's where the phrase that he bears us on eagle's wings come from. If you don't mind, let's let the Bible define itself and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. the book of Deuteronomy and chapter number 32. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy and chapter number 32. And here God is going to define what he means. Now remember that the primary emphasis of what God is speaking to is to the people of Israel, which once again, as a disclaimer, especially with today's current events, God has always considered the Hebrew people his peculiar people. But because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we can also make application because God loves us as well. But we cannot forget that the primary interpretation is to the Hebrew people. In fact, notice with me in verse 20, Deuteronomy 32, 20, and he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what end they shall be, for they are a forward generation, a children in whom there is no faith. If we could accurately describe the Hebrew people today, they're a people of no faith. Notice that there's no qualifier here. God loves them even though they have no faith. Amen. Again, because we have current events going on, actively present tense right now, we do have to recognize right or wrong, even though they're lacking no faith, God, they're still God's people and he sees them as a peculiar treasure. Current events out of the way, going back to applying it to ourselves, notice if you don't mind, in verse number 10. It says in Deuteronomy 32:10, he found him, Israel, in the desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about and he instructed them and kept them as the apple of his eye. So notice, in one passage he says, you're my peculiar treasure. Then later on, 40 years later, he says, they're the apple of my eye. What is an apple of an eye? It's another way of saying they're special and belong to me. Again, direct application is to the Hebrew people, but we're also able to apply it to us ourselves. But then notice with me in verse number 10, which is now going to be our message, or verse 11. It says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark two phrases in these two verses? Notice with me in verse 11, it says, as the eagle, as the eagle. And then in verse number 12, notice it says, so the Lord, so the Lord. And I would like you to tie those two underlines together, maybe draw a line to each one with arrows. These two are related terms. It says, as the eagle, so the Lord. Whenever you see this comparison in the Bible, as and so, what it's doing is it's doing a direct parallel. So just like the eagle does these things, God does these things. And with this, it happens to be that God explains, but we also have the ability to study eagles ourselves and study the research of eagles. And just like the eagles do this, God also does this. Now remember, what's the purpose of all of this? To bring us to himself. That's what we saw in Exodus 19. God is going to do all of these things for the purpose of bringing us to himself. If you don't mind, let's study what an eagle does, and so the Lord. The first thing I'd like to show you is, as an eagle builds, so the Lord. As an eagle builds, so the Lord builds. Or as an eagle, so the Lord builds. With our study of eagles, it's going to talk about the nest in verse number 11. But to start off with, eagles will build a nest and they will always find a high place. Sometimes it's a cliffside. Sometimes it's on top of a mountain, but it is always at a place that is high and a place where predators cannot get to them. And the eagle, when he builds his nest, even before there's eaglets, takes time to construct that nest. It builds it structurally so that way it is built correctly. But then what it does is it gets soft things. Maybe it kills an animal and takes the skin, and it will actually lay out the skin to make the nest comfortable. It's one of those interesting things. And it builds, the eagle will take time to weave it together, to put it, to make this a place. Again, before there's even any baby eagles, any eaglets, it works hard to construct it. It works hard with purpose, with intention. It makes it soft to cushion. It's all for the idea to protect the young. So the eagle takes time to build it at a place away from predators, high above everything else. It builds it constructively, and it builds it with some soft things. It's not a careless task. It is with very clear instruction. This is what the Lord does. The Lord also builds. It's not haphazard work. It is purposeful build. And he is building something in us. Remember the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says that he that began a good work in you will continue against that day. That God has started a purposeful work in your life. It started with before you were even saved, God had already set things up. We teach a principle that God is always previous. That God was after you before you even realized that God was after you. That he sent someone on purpose to give you the gospel. He on purpose drew you to himself because he's trying to build. But once you get saved, he doesn't say, well, you know, I'm done. That's just the start of it. And on purpose, he starts to work and put things in your life. He starts to build. He knows what you need more than what you need. You understand that if we were given the choice, we would have no problems whatsoever. If said, hey, you know what? Would you like to break your arm tomorrow? No. But God doesn't ask us because he knows that we would always take the path of least resistance. We would always have an easy, comfortable life. But God knows that we can't handle an easy, comfortable life because if we had never any need to trust God, we would never trust God. He has to purposely put things in our life that we would not choose for ourselves, but he chose for us because he knows this is what we need. And he's building. And everything that God does is with intention and purpose. God doesn't say, oops, I accidentally made you an accident. I was aiming for someone else. God knew what he was doing. He knows what we need. He knows what we uniquely need. You have to go through different struggles than I go through struggles. Yes. For example, for college, for many people, academics is their struggle. They show up to college and say, oh man, I've got to do all this work. They never taught me how to study in high school. Now I've got to put this up and I've got to do the work. And college is a struggle. College was not a struggle for me. That's not one of my gifts. That was like, study? Yeah, let's do that. That's fun. So you understand, I'm giving a cheap illustration. Your struggles will be different than my struggles. Your unique path has to go there. But God knows how to do a work on each one of us to make us dependent upon him. For example, using the cheap illustration, I didn't have to depend on God to study, which is to my detriment, because that wasn't my thing. Where someone else has to pray for every test, every quiz, every homework assignment. God, I need your help. I have no clue what I'm doing. Amen. Again, I'm using a cheap illustration. Some of you have no problems with physical. You're like, I could work all day and no problem. Whereas for me, I have to beg God to do something small. Lord, help me to carry this laundry basket without spilling and dying. Help me to climb these steps. You understand, our paths are unique. God knows exactly what we need to make us need him. And he does it with purpose and with intention. And he knows how to work. That God is weaving this together. That as the eagle builds, so the Lord builds. And he knows how to build it and construct. And God knows how to do a good work. By the way, we apply this to other things that God builds. Jesus said very clearly that he will build his house. He didn't say we would build his house or that he would build our house or that we would build our house. He said, I will build my house. It's God's job to build a church. Anyone could build a crowd. Only God could build a church. God does a building and what he does is right and it's purposeful, intentional, and he knows how to put together. The Bible talks about the same illustration of a church in 1 Corinthians, where he said a building framed fitly. I just messed up the term, but it was built perfectly. He knows how to put it together so it fits together. Wouldn't you hate to have a building frame? We've got builders in here. And that when you build the frame, it wobbles. That'd be horrible, right? You need to have a firm foundation. You need to have it set where it's perfectly fit. And God knows how to put together and put the pieces to put them together. By the way, we're his building, he says. He put you in this church for a reason, because he has a perfect place to fit you at. Aren't you glad that God doesn't deal with spell parts? He knows how to put things together correctly. God is a master builder, and he builds your life well with intention and purpose. As the eagle, so the Lord builds. We now go to a second thing. As an eagle, so the Lord breaks. So we start off with, as the eagle, so the Lord builds. As the eagle, so the Lord breaks. Notice Deuteronomy 32. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. This stirring up is this breaking thing. So as the eagle builds the nest, eventually time of life comes and babies come. Nice eggs. The eggs will hatch, and now the babies need to be taken care of. That structure has been built for their comfort. It's been built for their security. They're high above everything else. This nest is built so well that it's not going to fall apart, so the little babies can survive and then it can go. But the eagle knows something that the little babies don't know. These babies are born to fly. They're born to leave the nest. But like any other creature, as long as they're comfortable, they won't leave. So remember when I said before that the eagle will put soft cushion, maybe a skin on there to make it soft for the baby eaglets? During time, the eagle mother will actually take that skin off and tear it apart and toss it about, so that all that's left is the sticks. Now, if the little baby eaglets could talk, they'd probably say like this, "What just happened? I sat here all the time and now there's something sharp sticking in. I'm so uncomfortable. What's going on? What went wrong? My whole world's falling apart. It's so uncomfortable. What is happening?" Nothing wrong is happening. God knows that as long as we're comfortable, we'll never fly. We'll never leave the nest. You know what my job as a parent is? Not only to protect my kids, but also at the same time with as much diligence to prepare them to leave the nest. Yes. To prepare them to survive on their own. My job as a parent is not just to protect them, to keep them in my nest forever. Yes. They have to be prepared to survive on their own. And there's a breaking, there's an uncomfortableness that has to be done. And by the way, God does that within our life. Sometimes we get uncomfortable because we've been too comfortable. In order to change the present, we have to stir up the present. And God will allow things to be discomfort. It doesn't mean something's wrong. Sometimes people will take that there. I don't know why things are so hard. Is it so, why, what's going wrong? I got to find out what's wrong. Nothing's wrong. God's trying to graduate you. He's trying to get you to fly. He's trying to get you to depend on faith. He's get you to the place where you're finally grown up enough to be uncomfortable, so you have a desire to leave the nest. So you have the desire to get out of the comfort. So you have a desire to fly. But that's part of that breaking process. And the eagle is good for doing that. And God is good for doing that. To start making things uncomfortable. Doesn't mean something's wrong, but there's an uncomfortableness that hits. He starts throwing away, and now all that's left is the sticks. The eaglets are going, what's happening here? My favorite chair's gone. It's not fun here anymore. It's not comfortable. What's going on? Why does Mama hate me so bad? Or whatever things they would be saying. All I know is that I'm uncomfortable. Things aren't the same anymore. What's going on? As the eagle, so the Lord. So as the eagle builds, so God builds. And he builds things constructive. He does it on purpose. He's the master builder. He knows how to put it together. And he puts things together correctly. But over time, as the eagle breaks, So the Lord breaks and the Lord makes things uncomfortable and he starts doing this. We're not made to cling to the temporary. We're made for something more. The meaning of life means to come to God. Remember, why is God making things uncomfortable? I told you the reason before, to bring us to himself. That was always the purpose. Why did he build? To bring us to himself. Why does he break? To bring us to himself. That's the purpose, for us to depend on God. He's not trying to chase us away from him. He's trying to bring us closer to him. And he knows what needs to happen in our life to make us uncomfortable. So we have to seek after God. As the eagle, so the Lord. That just because things seem like it's falling apart doesn't mean God's out of control. That God's trying to do a deep work. He's not trying to harm us. He's trying to help us to move forward. What feels like breaking is often the beginning of growing. What may be seem like loss may be the very thing that leads us closer to him. As the eagle, so the Lord. Notice as it goes on. Verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young. Notice this, fluttereth over the young. So as the eagle, so the Lord builds. As the eagle, so the Lord breaks. As the eagle, so the Lord broods. It says that the eagle fluttereth over her young. People who study eagles say it's pretty amazing that what would happen is that the mama eagle, as the little chicklets are in the nest, she's now made things uncomfortable for them. And then what she does is she actually flies before them where they could see her flying. And if you can imagine those little baby eaglets watching mom fly and say, wow, I want to do that. Wow. And she is being the example for these little eaglets. And it's creating a thirst and desire. I want out of this nest. I want to soar. I want something more than this. There's the example before me. I want that. And the Lord is giving us this same thing, just as an eagle, as she rises above and soars in the sky. They see her strength. They see her grace. They see her power. But she knows that they're watching her. She knows that the stirring has gotten their attention. And now she wants not just to intimidate, but to inspire. They want the eaglets to look and say, I want that. Could I ever fly like that? Could I have something more? Remember, they wouldn't be asking that question if things weren't disrupted before. If they were comfortable, they're like, I'm good. But now that things are uncomfortable, they're looking for something more. You know what? Things are uncomfortable. Maybe there's something, oh, I want to do that. That sounds so good. Oh, that looks wonderful. I want to see that. Isn't that wonderful? That's the work of the Lord. He stirs things up to get our attention, and then he begins to brood over us. He begins to fly before us. He gives us the example. He begins to show us who he is and how he works, and he wants us to look up at him. He wants us to long for something more than what we have and something that he could always have. He's not distant when the nest is shaken. He's there watching and stirring. We know that there are times that heartbreaking things occur, but the purpose to get our eyes upon him. And the Lord's allowing the stirring. And he gets the familiar ground. But then his presence becomes clear. We're able to see him clearly rather than just look at the comfort. And we look at the beauty of him and see that he has always been looking at us. His eyes are always looking at us. We may be questioning. We may be uncertain. But God is always sure. He's not brooding over us on his own. But he's trying to invite us to do something more than where we're at. He's not just showing us how to fly. He's calling us to it. As the eagle, so the Lord. He bears us on eagle's wings. That here is an eagle who takes time to build this nest. Here is an eagle that has made it comfortable and allowed it for a place for those eaglets to be born and to grow. But part of that growing process is after a while, they need to be made uncomfortable. So the eagle, so the Lord breaks up that nest, makes it uncomfortable. Things that felt good before are no longer feeling right, feeling different, feeling uncomfortable. But then as the eagle, so the Lord broods, that eagle will fly before them, trying to inspire them, trying to encourage them, trying to get their attention so they look up and they say, I want something more than this. We also see something else in here. Notice if you don't mind. In verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, and spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on the wings. The eaglet mother knows these were made to fly. So when the time comes, she will actually call them out. Maybe one of the brave ones starts stepping out to the edge and he looks and he wants to be just like mama. And so he wants to try this. Now remember, these nests are purposely built up high. They are purposely built up on the cliffs and the mountains and the trees. They're built up high. And so when they fall, it's a straight drop. But you watch the little eaglet come to the edge and say, I'm going to be like mama. I'm going to go. And he steps off, falls. But they watch as they study eagles, is that the mama eagle keeps an eye on each one of them. And as that little baby eaglet's now falling and screaming, oh, I'm going to die, it's going to be horrible. Oh no, what's going on? That mama eagle will come down and she will fly under him and capture that little baby eaglet. And that little baby eaglet will actually cling onto mom, and mom will soar as that little baby eaglet is holding onto her back, learning how to fly. As he took a step of faith, and now instead of falling, it was a scary time, but she caught him and now they're soaring together. You know, they've done studies of eagles for thousands of years now. And one of the interesting thing about eagles is that they never found a baby eaglet who fell to its death. Isn't that interesting? Because that mama eagle has her eyes on the children at the whole time. And as soon as one of them steps out, she allows him to step out. He needs to fly. He needs to step out. She doesn't keep him in the nest. She encourages him to go. But she keeps an eye the whole time. When he takes a step of faith and it doesn't seem to be working, she captures him. Can you imagine what it would be like being saved and now flying all over? Until finally that eaglet begins to say, you know what? I think I've got this. And from her back, he'll begin to flap his wings like mama does. And he'll begin to fly on his own. As the eagle, so the Lord. As the eagle bears, so the Lord bears. God does this. He allows us to get to the place where we step out by faith. Stepping out the edge of the nest, it's been uncomfortable. We've been watching God soar. We're saying, I want something more than this. I know what I'm going to do is I'm going to fly. And you try to step out for God and it doesn't seem to work. And all of a sudden, what's going on? And you're falling. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And God catches you. And now you soar. And he bears you until finally you learn to fly yourself. As the eagle, so the Lord. Again, what was the whole purpose? To bring us to himself. To depend and trust on him. To allow God to be God. And God knows how to do that. You understand that this is part of the process. This is the idea of living a faith life. That we start off, God has it protected. And by the way, we hit different stages of being protected. But then all of a sudden things kind of get uncomfortable. Man, it used to be nice, but now a normal thing that will happen. And some of you have hit that stage a couple years ago, different people. You said, oh man, I got saved. This is great. I want to read my Bible. Wonderful. Oh, I'm getting so much out of it. And then you get to the place where you say, I don't know what happened. I used to love reading my Bible. Now it's kind of dry. And what's going on? God's doing it on purpose. He's making it uncomfortable where you have to depend upon him. And you have to trust in him. And then finally, when you learn to trust on him, all of a sudden your Bible reading becomes alive again. You just had to get through that process. There are times where you said, oh man, I'm saved. And look, God answers prayer and everything's all right. And then God will stir up things and you're like, what's going on? Is it because I did something wrong? Is our world falling down? Oh no, am I going to die? God says, no, I just made things uncomfortable for you. I'm doing it on purpose. I'm trying to get you to look up. I'm trying to let you see that there's something more than this. More than this little nest. There's something outside of this. You start looking up to God and say, oh man, look at what God can do. oh man, I think I want to try something. I want to do something by faith. Maybe you do that diving board thing. I don't know if you've ever done a diving board thing the first time and you look down and it takes a little while to you kind of, oh, that's a long way down there. Oh, well, maybe do a couple start, that little baby eaglet trying to get the bravery to jump, trying to think, oh, I got this. If I flap my wings, have you ever as a kid thought you could fly and try to jump off something and flap in your arms? And it didn't quite work out. We're just not built like that. But we tried it anyways. Some of the bravest of us probably put on the Superman cape. Normally, it was a big, heavy blanket that wasn't going to fly in the first place, that if you let it on its own, it's still going to fall like a rock. But I've got this. I'm going to try this. And you come up with your different ways, and they don't work. But you try. Stubborn of us kept doing it over and over and over, convinced that one of these times it's going to work. I don't know how stubborn you were, but if you could allow me a personal illustration, my brother and I, my dad owned an auto salvage yard, so he would take cars and he would fix them and repair them and whatnot. And he had one that he put away from the group because he had been working on. I didn't know that. I was a stupid kid. My brother and I, it was right next to an abandoned trailer house that was on the property. And we said, hey, you know what? We found out how to get on top of the trailer house. And there's a car there. We don't want to fall to the ground. Let's fall the car. I know. We don't want to damage the car. We're going to put a nice mattress we found and put on top of the car. And we're going to try to do this parachute thing, you know, and so we would work hard in the parachutes and we'd jump from the trailer house to the car on the mattress because, you know, the mattress is going to make everything better. You know, if we fall, it's not going to hurt, you know, over and over. And I was the worst one at it because I was convinced, man, I could get this parachute to work. You know, you get the sheets and you try to cut holes and you try to do other things. You don't know anything about how aerodynamics and stuff works, but, you know, you try everything. And I remember my dad coming home. We said, oh, well, we got to move that mattress. We don't want him to figure it out. We moved the mattress, and the whole top of the car was all tinted in from the repeated impacts. Oops. You said, what happened? Well, fell off the nest. We don't need to talk about that right now. But you know, we've got to the place in our life where we look up, I could do this, I could do this. And then we're so disappointed when we don't, we're falling. But God was there the whole time, just trying to get us to step by faith, trying to get us to do something. He didn't want us to see, hey, look, we could do this on our own. But the whole purpose, he's trying to draw us to himself. So we step up by faith. We do something uncomfortable. We try to do something. And it doesn't seem to work. And God comes and bears us until we learn to depend on faith and do it right. And now we start flying and soaring. As the eagle, so the Lord. God cares for his people, and he's working to try to draw them to himself. And there's a process. There's no such thing and no verse in the Bible that says because you're a believer that you have an easy life from there on out. In fact, as we learn, as the eagle, so the Lord, may start off comfortable, then he starts making things discomfort. He starts stirring things up, starts making things where it's just not, and he's doing it for the purpose that we look up to him. And as we look up to him, we finally get enough courage and bravery. He said, I'm going to step out. I'm going to try something. And it doesn't work. And we plunge. But we don't plunge to our death. He bears us. He keeps an eye on us the whole time. Comes up, soar, until we learn how to fly on our own. To be able to trust God, depend upon God. And God cares for us children the entire time. What a wonderful God that we have. That God can lift us when we can't lift ourselves. He strengthens us when we're weak. He bears us up, not because we're able, but because we're faithful. This is how he works. He watches, he calls, he carries. The whole time, he's trying to bring us to himself. As we're making a study this year of understanding the love of God, this is one of those pictures that we could get. We've studied eagles, and God makes a reference as the eagle, so the Lord. He wants us to understand that he's a God that's trying to draw us to himself, and there's a process and there's a work, and that God knows what he's doing the entire time. He's never lost control. We may not know what's going on, and we may feel helpless, and we may feel uncomfortable, but God knows what he's doing the whole time. And he's trying to bear us on eagle's wings. He's trying to carry us to himself. He's drawing us close. Interesting enough, our main study this year is the gospel record of John. Each of the gospel records is pictured by a creature. The gospel record of Matthew is pictured by a lion because Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The gospel record of Mark is pictured by an ox because Jesus is the servant, and you see his work in the gospel record of Mark. Gospel record of Luke is pictured with man, and that the Greek mind was looking for the perfect man, and Jesus is the perfect man. But the gospel record of John soars all above the other three and is pictured by the eagle. As the eagle, so the Lord. And as we go through the gospel record of John this year, we're seeing the same principle that God bears us on eagle's wings, that God loves us and he wants us to understand his love towards us. What a great God that we have, that God is pointing out to the people of Israel and then to ourselves that we're a peculiar treasure. We're the apple of his eye, that he's a faithful God. And as the eagle, so the Lord. As the eagle, so the Lord builds. As the eagle, so the Lord breaks. As the eagle, so the Lord broods. As the eagle, so the Lord bears. Because he loves us with a purpose of drawing us to himself. He wants to bear us on eagle's wings. What do you do with a message like this? Keep your eyes on him. Step up by faith. Let God be God. Let him do his work. And yes, there's a disrupting work. And when it gets disrupted, don't get mad at God. Don't feel like everything's going wrong. Understand that he's got a purpose for it. And we can trust in him. We keep our eyes on him and let him do his work. Let him do his complete work. Let him do his, he's a master builder. We can trust him. Because he sees us as a peculiar treasure. The apple of his eye. As the eagle. So the Lord. Let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.